answering this morning?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We'll. I know that some of us are a little sad because we heard that our dear friend and brother Ben is going to be going to the Kodambakkam region. And the reason he's going there is to revive the spirits of the brothers and sisters and to forcefully advance God's kingdom. Yeah. So great to have Ben over here. I thought his communion was fantastic, just asking us to reflect into our own hearts and see how we are. But today I shall continue about teaching on the seven churches.
Yeah.
So we have my title sermon, of course, Seven Churches, Part 3. And if you feel you missed the first and second part, you can get the copy from our sister Amanda or talk to Subhash. But we'll go to Revelation chapter 3. But it doesn't matter if you missed a part or not. Each of them is a part in itself. So don't worry about whether I missed something or not. I was wanting to actually cover up the last three churches. That's what I actually wanted to do. And I began reading the first church over there in Revelation 3, the church in Sardis. And I thought, instead of going for all three churches, I think we need a healthy dose of that first church. So I'm just going to be teaching and preaching from that first church. That's about it. And I think there's a lot to learn from that. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Please follow me from verses 1 onwards. 1 to 6. It says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you'll not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I'll never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I was studying out about this place, Sardis, and it's in Asia Minor. And so, Sardis was a place; it was a city, and it actually had two sections. The first section, the first development, was there's a hill, and it was on a ridge, so it was like as though the hill is there, or the mountain is there. And it comes out of the mountain. Fantastic view. And the distance from the ground right up to the top of this section, the Sardis section, was about 1,500 feet. That's like a 15-story building, twice the size of LIC building. That was pretty high. So it was not easy to attack Sardis and get inside in Sardis. Later on, the second development took place when this place became filled. They went down in the valley of the mountain, where there was a river, and legend has it that there was gold found over there in the river. And so Sardis was a very wealthy church. It received its best. And so, when you read over here in verse 1, I know your deeds, and you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. They had an awesome reputation of being alive. Another thing about Sardis I learned was, Sardis was only conquered twice. It was not easy to get into Sardis. And both the times they had a false sense of security. They didn't have ample guards stationed outside to watch out. And so people came in and attacked Sardis. Now, let me tell you what happened. While under the attack of the Cyrus of Persia, Sardis has got it, and there was a guard sitting on top. The guard happened to drop his helmet. Helmet came down. And what the guard did was, he climbs down the mountain. From the top, you could get the view where the crevices are and where you can place your hand and come down. This guy comes down, picks up his helmet, puts it back, goes back up. Guess who watches this? The Persian army. At night, the guys figured out a small band of people. They go, we know the route, the secret route to climb on this mountain. They climbed, attacked, and took over the city. And the second time was under one of the subsequent rulers of Alexander the Great. The same incident was remembered, and the city was once more taken because somebody climbed up through that secret passage. So when Jesus is saying over here, strengthen what remains, the people of Sardis understood. They knew what Jesus was talking. You see, there's something to learn about our lives over here. When there is problems in life, maybe health problems, maybe money problems, maybe you have a problem to stay or food or whatever it is. When we have problems in life, it's amazing how strongly we cling to God. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
When our needs are not met, when there is, there's problems, there's suffering, there's pain, it's amazing how people are committed to God. On the other hand, when everything is taken care of, food comes. You don't know where it comes from, but it comes. Somebody's paying for it, it comes. Your clothes come. You don't know where it comes, but it comes to you. You have enough of money. You can go where you want to go. You can take a break when you want to take a break. You hold a good job in a reputed firm or a company. Everything's going great, or you're in school or college, you're in a nice school, nice college. When everything is set up in life, is when we take things for granted. Is when we start to fall asleep. Let's go into Revelation chapter 3, and let's break it down and let's learn and get deeper into what's happening over here.
Yeah.
In verse 1 it says, to the angel of the church in Sardis. Now angel, when you see angel, angels were not actually running the church. It was the minister who was running the church. Back in those days, the church fathers were running the church. Today the evangelists run the church. The regional leaders run the church. The houses leaders run the church. The Bible talk leaders also run a small section of the church. So first of all, when Jesus is saying to the angel of the church, he says, hey guys, if you're a Bible talk leader, wake up. Because I want to just talk to you a little bit. Now the last verse also says, whoever has ears, let them hear. So it's not just the Bible talk, it is also for anybody else who's part of the Bible talk. Jesus saying, you better hear to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. It says over here, these are words of him who holds the seven spirits. The seven spirits of God. You know, in my previous lessons I've told you that you get to understand Revelation when you get to understand the Old Testament. So just a sample. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Yes. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 1 says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. So, we now understand that that shoot that says it will come up from the stump of Jesse is actually Jesus Christ. And it says, from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And that talks about Jesus. So, we know this is about Jesus. Good. But our focus is Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Go take a look over there. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. That's number one. And it says, the Spirit of wisdom, number two. The Spirit of understanding, number three. The Spirit of counsel, number four. The Spirit of might, number five. The Spirit of the knowledge, number six. And the spirit of fear of the Lord, number seven. Go back to Revelation. So when Jesus says, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God. He's talking about, wow, this is going to be awesome. It means God himself. So the people inside, we go, oh, seven. So God has seven spirits? I don't know. I thought there's only one Holy Spirit. Well, if you know the Old Testament, then you go, whoa, Jesus actually talking about himself and also about God and how glorious God's Spirit is.
Yeah.
You get the completeness when you start looking into the passage. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So it says, these are spirits of him who holds the seven spirits. What's the name of the seven spirits? And it says, and the seven stars. Now, the word seven stands for perfection, right? Or fullness. And the seven spirits simply means that the Holy Spirit is there in all its fullness, in its perfectness. Whenever you read these seven churches and you look at the beginning, the starting, for each church, I like it. Jesus has a dramatic, mind-blowing starting. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
Hey, check out some examples over here. Let's go back to chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, right? These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Look at the introduction. He says, I walk among the seven golden lamps. Jesus says, I walk among the churches. How would you be if you find Jesus walking around over here? He stands next to you. As you're singing, he goes, hey man, let me help you with the song to you. You know the song? You can sing it with me.
You'll be amazed.
You're sitting down there, Jesus sits next to you. You open the Bible, he opens the Bible too. In his Bible, there's no red letter. Maybe yours. I don't think he's got any red letter. Red letter is man-made. He goes, hey, everything is from me. There's no red, which is extra special, and black, which is like, oh, nah. It's going to be awesome. Look at the next one. Smyrna. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 says, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, right? These are the words of him who is the first and the last who died and came to life again. I love it. Look at the introduction. He goes, you know what? I'm the first and the last. And I took Debbie to doctor yesterday. She was sick, not keeping well. And I was looking at the guys, and sometimes the doctor tells you to, you know, do this test and do that test. It's absolutely fleecing your pocket, making money. Now I'm not happy at all. I was like, man, these guys just say this test, that test, because you don't know what is it. You go, oh, really? Do you have this problem? Yeah, do that test. What about this? Yeah, do this test. What about that? Yeah, do that test. And they're making money. That's bad. But anyway, I was looking at the people around, and I go, no matter how strong you are and how bold you are and how whatever you are, there'll be one day you'll probably be visiting a doctor. Raise your hand if you've visited a doctor. Raise your hand if you've never visited a doctor. That's surprising, huh? Not one hand went up. When you're in bad shape, you need a doctor who'll probably fix you up. But even for all the doctors that are there in the world, when they fall sick, they also need a doctor. And the strange thing is, there is a doctor of all doctors, a physician of all physicians, a healer of all healers, whom we all must meet to get the spiritual cancer cured.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And Jesus says, I'm the first and the last. You were formed by this doctor. And you're going to meet this doctor one day. Irrespective of whether you believe in God or not.
Yeah.
You're having an appointment.
Yeah.
You go, when? It's there. It's fixed. It's written down. And you shall meet this doctor. Hopefully, it'll be a time of rejoicing.
Yeah.
Let's go on. Pergamum. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 12 says, to the angel church in Pergamum, right? These are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I love it. Some of us people, you know, I've ever seen a picture of, you know, you see pictures of Jesus? Sad eyes, maybe blue eyes, green eyes. Short hair, long hair, permed, curly, maybe with a lamp, maybe with a lantern, maybe with this walking stick. I love this picture. This guy's got a double-edged sword. Oh! Don't you mess around with this person. Don't you mess around with this person. Better figure this out, why he carries a double-edged sword. Now, of course, we know it's the word of God, but it does describe that way. Go ahead, chapter 3. To the angel of the church in verse 7, sorry. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Man, that's radical. This is huge. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. There is a deadline to your life. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You're not going to live forever and ever.
Yeah.
It has been open. Nobody can shut it. When he does shut it, that's when you die and I die. No one else can open it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only one person can, and that is Jesus.
Right.
Let's look at the last one. Chapter 3, verse 14. To the angel church in Laodicea, right? These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. We understand God's, you know, we give we give, and I was checking out, I learned that Samsung is introducing its new Galaxy Note 8. Thank you. And man, this is awesome. He's like, oh, it can do this, it can do that, it can do this, it can do that, double this, that, this. I thought, okay, great. And I thought, this guy must be smart. And then I read in somewhere in the news that the 8 advantages the Galaxy Note 8 has over the iPhone. It doesn't have this, iPhone doesn't have that, there's no stylus, there's no fingerprint, there's no retina scan. I'm like, oh, great, okay. These guys must be awesome, right? Creating awesome cell phones, incredible laptops, security system. You think about it, you go, oh, I can't believe it. The stuff that people can do. Well, over here it says that Jesus is the ruler of God's creation. I haven't found anybody top the mango tree. You see anybody? Make a better, greater mango tree? I haven't seen anybody pop up the roses. Well, I haven't seen, you know, I take pictures. I love photography. And one of the things I do is in the evening, I love to see the sky. And every day, almost every day, I love the painting that happens across on this big canvas. Yes. Yeah. Thousands of miles spread across. I just look at it and go, wow. What color combination? Yeah. You know, red and blue doesn't mix. It mixes there. You know, orange and pink doesn't, it mixes there. You know, green and yellow is bad, but it mixes there. Have you ever looked at the sky? I'll show you some pictures. It's awesome. Yeah. You go, man, that's incredible. I have one picture. It's totally black. Black clouds, black, black, black. And then right in that one left-hand corner, there's a little yellow glow. I'm like, I have a picture. I'm going to go, how does that happen? It happens.
Yeah.
This guy is the ultimate when he does a painting.
Yeah.
He beats Picasso.
Yeah.
When this guy is ultimate when it comes to sculptures, this guy beats everything. I mean, the things he does has life and breath.
Yes.
That's the stuff Jesus is. He says over here, the ruler of God's creation. You may think, I don't like to have a boss. Sorry. Maybe bad news for you. Jesus is your boss. Hey, whether you like it or not. You go, I don't like Jesus. Well, man, be thankful. You got eyes to see.
Yeah.
I mean, you got mouth, you can speak. I mean, you got bodily function that works fine. You got to be thankful over there. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Yeah. Says to the angel of the church in Sardis, right? These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. I don't know about you, but several years ago, I came to this church. And I couldn't differentiate whether this church was a place of party or wasn't a place of peace. Because in my mind, church was all, you know, you ask me, hey, why do you want to go to church? I want some peace of mind. I want to pray. So our mindset is, if I come to church, I should come, find a seat, sit there. If they say, all rise, you rise. If they say, be seated. And then you just look at that preacher. Yeah, I know I'm handsome.
Yes.
So I know you're paying attention. Oh my God. Oh my God, that's a shiner. Oh my God. Perfect ear. Perfect head. Look at his eyes. Oh, I know that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're far too kind. Thank you. But I must say, I want to show you from the scriptures why we come to church and how we need to be a little bit. You see, the way that we are right now is a little bit dead. And somebody has taught you wrongly that you should not open your mouth. And okay. Never open your mouth. Never open your mouth. Don't smile. Don't smile. Don't smile. Don't smile. You cannot smile. Get serious. If somebody has told you that. Must change that theology a little bit. Let's turn your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. You see, you know, church needs to be an awesome place to come. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 13. Nehemiah was talking about helping the poor and doing what is right. And you find over here in Nehemiah 5, verse 13, it says, I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, in this way, may God shake out their house and possessions. Anyone who does not keep this promise, so may such a person be shaken out and emptied. At this, the whole assembly said, amen, and praised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. You see, one of the reasons we have a spiritual dullness is because we have not learned this thing about saying amen.
Yeah.
See, all we do is... You got to say amen. You're already zoning out. You're already going to Mars or probably, or Venus, I don't know. Maybe you're going to the chicken biryani shop. I don't know. You're drifting already. You see, the people respond that way. Look at another one. Nehemiah chapter 8.
Come on.
When Nehemiah called people to respond, they responded. They didn't say, hmm? Nehemiah chapter 8.
Yes.
In verse 6. Let's go from verse 5. Nehemiah, Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. We come here together to praise God collectively. Not to do your personal prayer. The personal prayer can be done in Anna Tower Park. It can be done on the beach. There are several places you can do that. When you come to church, you got to go, no, not a lot. You got to go, I need to be here engaging. You know, have you seen our fellowship, guys? I love our fellowship.
Yeah.
Fellowship break is incredible. It's like, it's beast. And it's like bees. You can't, Jude comes here, guys, they're singing something. That's awesome. Fellowship is awesome. But we have to learn this part about responding to God's word and saying amen. And being with what the scripture is saying. Responding is kind of worship. Hello. Take a look. When you say amen, it's a form of which you're saying, God, what this person said is just true. I agree with it. I need to change it. That's where you change. Your dullness goes away when you start responding and agreeing with the truth, which is God's word. Are you with me, guys?
Yeah.
So you gotta go. Oh, but in my church, it doesn't happen. It doesn't matter if it doesn't happen in your church. In God's church, there is a godly way. There's a godly form. It should happen.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if you're studying the Bible, you gotta say amen.
Yeah.
At least you can't go. Not allowed. You gotta just change it. I don't want to take a picture of you from here. If I take a picture, I want to take a picture where everybody's smiling and like, hey, got it with you. Not. Should be. And so I think we have to align ourselves. You know, this morning when I was talking to people, I did some fellowship. I said, "Hey, bro, how's the prayer going? Did you pray today?" "No." Can you believe it? We come to church, we not finished our own quiet times. No wonder we're dull.
Yeah.
I went around asking different things. Says he prayed, not prayer. I said, "You know, you're going to pray right now. That's the most important thing."
Yeah.
Some of us, we don't engage with God in the mornings.
Yeah.
We just land up here, and guess how you will be? You'll be working with your flesh. And the Spirit of God is going to be missing in your life.
Right.
No wonder you come and go, you're not able to get fired because you go, "I don't know what's wrong with me." But you've got to pray.
Yes.
That's what is wrong with you.
Yes.
You've got to get alive. That's what is wrong with you.
Yes.
You've got to get alive. Seriously. Yeah. There was a... I remember working for a company, and this is a young guy who was leading it, and he talked to me and he said, I was studying in college, I was doing my NID course, that's 7 to 9 in the morning, and then I would go to this place at 10 o'clock, and I'll go work from 10 to right up to 3. And then after that, go to college till about 7:38. Then come back, you know, and be with my girlfriend and make her happy and stuff like that. Then go to bed. And Saturday nights was all party time. I was doing my NID course, working, going to college, keeping my girlfriend happy. Now I look at it, I go, all useless. But let me ask you this. Do you have a life about yourself?
Yeah.
Do you have a life? People go, "Man, I love that guy." This guy. Do they? Or they go, "Oh." They look at you and they turn away. Think about it. We now say we are Christians.
Yeah.
That means we have God, the Holy Spirit, living in us.
Yeah.
How you need to be? Bro, what happened? Where are you? "I'm hiding behind so that God can be shown." No, God lives in you. You better be up in the front so people can see you and then can see God.
Yeah.
There's nothing called, "Are you hiding behind so God can be seen?" Where are you hiding? Hello? Storeroom, kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, office room. Where are you hiding? Stop hiding. Have you guys ever seen, you know, I love to make tea. That's the only thing I can do. Make tea. I once made tea. It was a horrible experience. I stopped cooking rest of my life. But you never know. I may be a secret cook. No. But I make tea. So when I make, you know, you put the water. Have you guys made tea anytime? Raise your hand if you made tea.
Yeah.
Oh, good. You have some experience. Okay. I don't know. You guys are better than me in this thing. But when I make the tea, I put the little saucepan there and you put some water there. There's a time to put the tea leaves. It's when you see the water boiling, bubbling. You see the bubbles come up,
yeah.
You see the steam go up, you go, "Hey, time to put the tea leaves."
Yes.
What if you come to my house and I put the saucepan, pour the water in the saucepan, I say, "Hey bro, we're gonna add the tea leaves once it starts bubbling." You go, "Yes, bro." And you wait. And I wait. And you wait. And I wait. And I go, "Hey, it's bubbling now, and I want to put the tea leaves." You go, "I don't see the bubbling. I don't see any bubbles there." I go, "No, brother. It is not seen to your naked eye. But to my eyes, I can see." You go, "Really? Are you Superman or something?" But then if I tell you, "No, it's actually bubbling.
but it's bubbling inside. You can't see outside, but inside, the water molecules, they are clashing. It's happening inside, bro. It's bubbling there. You go, bro, I don't see anything bubbly. I mean, you know.
Come on, Raja.
Then you daringly put your finger inside and go, hey, bro, it's cold water. And I go, bro, you can't feel it. I can feel it. See? Brother, it's so hot. Seriously. We have a problem here.
Yeah.
You see, when the water bubbles and boils and bubbles, everybody can see.
Yeah.
It's evident.
Yeah.
Not only here at church, everywhere.
Yeah.
You have a life.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's the bubbling going?
Come on, preach it.
Bro, it bubbles in the church. O'clock, you leave this room. From behind. From behind. Hey, bro. Bro, what's the plan? What happened? Bro, are you okay? Bro, can we go for lunch together? You're gone. Some of you are not even bubbling in the church. Check it out. The guy next to you. You are dead. It's time to wake up this morning. Get alive. Get fired. Jesus says, wake up. Stop coming to, you know, coming to a, I mean, don't come to a dead church. But don't make the church dead. I've been to, you know, several churches. CSI, CNI, Methodist, Dinakaran meeting, all this big hoo-ha-hoo-ha. But personally, I felt like the people are not alive.
Right.
Some people think rolling the ground is alive. That's a lie. That's not a lie. Out of 50, out of 500 people, two guys are rolling. And what's the rolling for? Seriously, read the Bible. The guys who rolled were the guys who had the evil spirits. Read your Bible. The evil spirit people are the ones who rolled. That's what happened to the evil spirit. No, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. No, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. How many times did Jesus roll on the ground? Rolled because he had the Holy Spirit. Jesus came, he got baptized, he came. Really? How many times did you see that? You ever seen it in the Bible? Read the Bible, get a correct understanding of the scriptures.
Yeah.
What the Bible says.
Yeah.
When you have the Spirit of God in you, it doesn't matter where you are. In the office, you're a spark.
Yeah.
People go, man, I love this guy. This guy, man. You know, some of you guys go, oh, in the office, I can't do this. Let me tell you, I worked.
Yeah.
In the place I worked, the boss saw me and another brothers, the way we worked. He said, I want people only from your office to join my company. I said, watch out. You'll have trouble. He said, no. I like these honest people. I said, all right. We had a bunch of brothers and sisters working the same office. 13 of us. From the receptionist to the typist to this, that, admin, everything. We had 13 brothers and sisters. And then I said, all right. Sir, I'm sorry, but we're going to start every morning with a morning prayer. He goes, what? Yep. You're 13 of us. If you don't go to this God and start your business is going to go down. He goes, oh, please pray. So every morning, while everyone is work is in their cubicle and they're like, what's going on? I go, hey guys, let's have a word of prayer. 13 brothers, we put arms around together. And flat out, we have an awesome time of prayer. Prayer that will be righteous. Prayer that we will not lie. Prayer that will be honest with the customers. We do this prayer and we say, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Others would feel shy, but we go, man, no problem. And my boss was like, do it every day. It's fantastic. So every day we'll do it. 5:30, Wednesday evening. My bosses go, Mr. Raja,
You have to leave. You have your prayer meeting. Please go, 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 go. You'll be late.
Thank you, sir. Sir, just...
No. Tomorrow we can talk.
Some people think spirituality works only in this little room over here. 30 feet by 90 feet. Oh, here only you can be spiritual. Says who? Not Jesus. Not the guys who's got this was a double-edged sword. Not the guys whose eyes are blazing fire, feet of bronze. Not this person. You've got the wrong idea of what a church is or what a Christianity is about. Wrong idea. You should be a powerful light in your workplace. People should go, man, this guy is a Christian. And you should define true Christianity. Because you have a life there. You tell people, I'm not going to lie. That's a ridiculous lie. I'm not going to lie. Take a walk. But you have to lie. You know, my boss, he told me the same thing. You know, Roger, unless you lie in sales, you can never make a sale. I said, I don't agree with that. He said, no, you have to lie. First man went on, I made zero sales. He said, Roger, I told you, you have to lie. Unless you lie, you can't be a salesman. I said, sir, I'll get you the sales. But lies, no lying. Second month, as he giving me his salary, again, I had zero sales. Mr. Raja, I told you, you have to lie. Without lying, you can't sell these things. Everybody lies. It's okay. I said, sir, sorry for no sales, but no lying. Third month, again, he's giving me his salary. He says, Mr. Raja, of course, no sales. I told you, you have to lie. Without lie, you can't do any sales. I said, sorry, sir, for no sales, but no sorry for not lying. I'm not going to lie. Long story short, I joined there as sales trainee. And one year, I was head manager operation of all the services and the sales. In 1 year time. And the boss put everybody under me. He said, hey, listen to him. He doesn't know this. He knows it. And listen to him. You go under him. That's what God does.
Yeah.
Does it reflect this somewhere in the passage? The life of Daniel.
Yeah.
You got to get a life.
Yeah.
You see, the reason you are struggling is you're trying to be... Don't put on something. Don't pretend. Just decide, I'm going to get excited about God.
Yeah.
And let's say this morning you're not excited. You go, oh, I don't know. I don't think I can ever wake up. You got to be honest and tell somebody, you know what? I'm dead.
Yeah.
Please help me.
Yeah.
My prayer is stinking. I need some help. My Bible study, I don't know. I read the Bible. I understand Gita. Or it is like Quran to me. I can't understand anything of what I read. Take help. Ask somebody, take help. Because you want to engage with God's word. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Go back to Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, it's interesting the way Jesus talks over here. It says, verse 1, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now, if you look over here, it says that Jesus holds the spirit and the seven stars. Jesus holds the church in his hands. He holds the leaders in his hands. You know, sometimes I feel that the brother who's discipling us is not capable. Ever thought that way?
This does not disciple me.
Jesus holds that brother or sister in his hands.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus holds you also in his hands.
Right.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
You may slip, but not fall.
Yeah.
You may break a bone or two, but not die.
Yeah.
Like I told you, he's the guy who gives the entry and the exit.
Yeah.
He holds that. Stop worrying. Who's going to disciple me? You know, we're going to make some discipling changes. You got to go, hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I remember when my discipling change happened. The guy whom I studied the Bible with, he was discipling me.
And he was a little scared. He's like, Raja, I said, listen, God has put you as my disciple. I understand you are in God's hand. I'm in God's hand. Nothing wrong is going to happen. I said, nothing is going to happen. And I would, you know, just submit to whatever he says and the plans he gave. Sometimes the plans were not the greatest plans. I say, amen. You said it, bro. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
That's the spirit of Christ in you.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So don't worry, because Jesus is the one who holds you and holds your disciple and your leader. You know, turn to the book of Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. Must get this angle about God. Nothing that has happened in your life has happened by accident. It's either God has allowed it to happen, or God himself has made that to happen. That's when the worst case is, you got to go, what? Well, let me return to the Lord. He may have torn me to pieces, but he will heal me. He may have injured me, but he will bind me.
Wow.
Must understand this concept, guys.
Yeah.
That we are who we are, inside, outside, everything is the same. Whether you're in school, whether you're in college, you should be recognized as, this guy's a Christian.
Yeah.
She's a Christian. The reason she's like this is because she's so talented. Now, if people say you're so talented, you gotta go, you know what? The reason is because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
I've got the Spirit of God living in me.
Yeah.
That's why I'm different. And I want to be that way. Not to exalt myself, but to exalt my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3. I have 2 points this morning. All that was introduction. Oh, no, we started. Hope you like the introduction.
Yeah.
Point number one. Wake up. Wake up!
Yeah.
Is point number one.
Amen.
Look what Jesus says. Follow me for verse 1 again. Revelation 3 verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Jesus still comes to these guys and says, no, it says, well, listen. Yeah, Sardis, you're great. You're awesome. There's gold. There's water. You guys are fantastic. Great defense system. Sardis, no one can enter you easily. Sardis, I'm in control of your leaders. Sardis, you are in my hands. I will take care of you. I'll protect you. Sardis, I know your deeds. But Sardis, you have a reputation of being alive. A reputation. A falsity is there in your life. A pretense. But you are not alive. And God says, you got to wake up.
Yeah.
Interestingly, you cannot tell a dead guy to wake up.
Right.
You can understand that. He says you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Dead people can't wake up. Oh yeah, dead people can wake up from another higher power or a higher source. They can. they can. You, me, by the top leaders, house church leaders, evangelists, women's ministry leaders, we can wake up only when God starts working in our life. Till you go to contact that God, you cannot wake up. You can do all the stunts. It's not going to work. You got to wake up this morning. What does it mean to be waken up? Well, you got to stop having a wandering mind. When you go to pray, you got to go, there are things, oh, get the milk, do the eggs. You got to go, no. I need to be stay alert over here. Yes, we love the fellowship, but we should love God more than the fellowship.
Yeah.
Do you? Be excited in fellowship, but do we love God more than the fellowship? We should.
Yeah.
We should love God more than the friendship we have.
Yeah.
It's great to be friends, but we should love God more than this friendship.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we love our mother and father, brothers, sisters. You know what? We should love God more than your mother and father and your brother and sister. More than anybody else in the world.
Yeah.
You got to wake up to that. Wake up. The picture that comes to mind is you got to rouse yourself.
Yeah.
Get up! And stay up!
Yes.
Stay up till you die or till Jesus comes up. But you stay up!
Yeah.
You got to say, I'm going to be a great light.
That's right.
Otherwise, it's pointless saying I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
There can be a weak Christian, but there cannot be a dead Christian.
Yeah.
Not allowed. We go weak sometimes. Well, somebody will pull you up.
Yeah.
But don't die.
Yeah.
Whatever is there within you today, this morning, you got to go, man, I got to rouse myself again.
Yeah.
Yes. But I've sinned. Confess your sins and then wake up again.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't know what to do. Well, repent and wake up again.
Yeah.
Bro, I've been living this for a long time. Well, you got to wake up again.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
My situation is so complicated. You got to wake up first.
Yeah.
And have God with you.
Yes, bro. Yeah.
Then situation will change.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you got to wake up first.
Yeah.
And stay awake. Change your mind. Change your philosophy. You got all funny philosophies we have. Oh, it should be like this. Nah. You got to go today, no. All philosophy dies, I got to be awake. You got to evaluate your own heart. You got to check it out. Am I alive or am I dead? Point number two. You got to strengthen. It says in chapter 3, verse 2, it says, wake up! Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Strengthen, which means you're giving immediate attention to what is happening. Strengthen, which means you know your weakness. Strengthen, you know you're not going to fall in that same sin again. Strengthen. I'm going to confess and take practical help how to overcome that sin. Strengthen. I'm not going to make an excuse. Strengthen. I'm going to stop lying about who I am. Strengthen. I'm going to be humble and take help from another brother or a sister. Strengthen. I'm going to stop missing the meetings of the body. Strengthen. I don't make efforts to know God's word. That's what strengthen means. That's what strengthen means. And Jesus says over here, you know, you got to strengthen. You know, strengthen means you got to impart energy. You got to, when you pray, you got to put your energy in there. I really want to challenge you to come for the prayer time that's happening over here.
Yeah.
You go, bro, anytime. It's running from midnight, September 1st, to noon September 3rd. You go, I want to be there. And people go, oh, I'll pray for 1 hour. You can pray for 2 hours if you want to. You can pray for three hours. Oh, but people are there. You take a corner there. There's a room at the back. Take the room there. But you got to go, man, I had to get myself. You can't just land up there and go, I'll pray. Doesn't work. You got to prepare yourself. You got to be sharp. You got to be focused. But I'm going to talk to my God and setting all these loose ends right. You got to go to God with a passion. With fire in your bones. Because you're coming to strengthen yourself. Are you with me, guys? The first principles classes, that's going to help you strengthen. Wednesdays, I want all of us to be there. You go, man, I want to know how to handle the word of God. You want to be there. You want to know how to, oh, but I stay very far away. So what? If you stay far away, make a plan and be there. It rained, so what? You know, I've never come across anybody because of rain melted. Have you seen anybody? You start, bro, my flesh is cut. Oh, I'm dripping, really. I've never seen your bones become weak because of it. Ever heard that newspaper? It rained heavily and people's bones became very feeble and nimble. Nothing happens if it rains. Just walk in the rain. Oh, it's raining. It's only raining. My dear brothers and sisters. Nobody's throwing acid. It's just rain. Ah, beautiful rain. Let's go. In the rain. I don't like umbrellas, by the way. I just walk in the rain. But if you need an umbrella, get an umbrella, but be over here. Are you with me? Wednesday, but it's important. You need some strengthening. You got to look at that and go, this is important. Look into Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 42 onwards. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. It says, the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, the master is taking a long time to come, in coming. He then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him. And in an hour, he is not aware of it. He will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked for. And the brothers and sisters said,
amen.
Oh, he's so talented. Oh, she's got a gifted voice. Oh, he's such a great leader. You know, all these things that people talk about you on WhatsApp, when, especially when it's your birthday, huh? Or on Facebook. Oh, I love this person. I love you so much. Ding, ding, double heart. All this thing that happens on WhatsApp. You know, people share about you on your birthday. Bro, I really admire this in you. Bro, I really appreciate this in you. You know, all the stuff that people share. Hello?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're awake now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, can I record it? Can you say it again? Oh, what did you mean when you said that, bro? Can you explain that thing? Oh. And so all these great qualities that people tell you about you, has been given to you by God. It's not in the genes.
Genes?
Yeah, that's genes.
Oh no, I thought that, bro, you thought that genes.
No, it's not in the genes. It comes from God. Comes from God. All these awesome leadership qualities, and you know, you're humble, you're this, you have great communication skills, and you study so much, you're brainy. Awesome. You're beautiful. Oh, sorry, I missed that point. Okay, for the man, you're handsome.
Yeah.
Comes from God.
Yeah.
Comes from God. And you gotta go, man, if I'm so blessed, then it's time to really think why I'm so blessed. And by the way, if you're confused, who's the guy who'll get more blows? It's us. If you're confused. Bro, I thought we'll get less blows. No. Right now we'll get more blows.
Oh yeah.
That's us. I'm just clearing the confusion. But you've got to understand, the reason you're so skilled and talented and gifted is so that you will exalt God.
Yeah.
That you will magnify God. That you will represent God to the people.
Yeah.
And call them back.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, I hope this morning you've been awakened.
Yeah.
Let's not be like the Sardis church. Thinking, had a reputation of being alive, but was actually dead. Took pride in the way they were. Took pride in the goal. Now you gotta go, no. We are who we are because the great God who has blessed us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your attention. May God bless you. No more Sardis. Let's be awake. Let's strengthen what remains and glorify God. May God bless you.
Thank you so much, Guru, for this reviving message. Let's